Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Well, there's always things come to mind that probably should not be said, so we'll just let that go. Anyway, it's a joy to be in the family, isn't it, of the Lord Jesus? And we thank the Lord we can just be a part of what he has made through his son in his death and resurrection, and that we're a part of that. It's a wonderful, wonderful reality. So there's so many needs in our prayer list, isn't there? Just encourage you to keep praying for those people. They need our encouragement, they need our prayers, and they need the Lord's intervention. And some of them do not know the Lord, obviously, so we pray for them as well. I appreciate prayers, and thank you for praying for Marty's brother-in-law and sister. They are both struggling, he especially, right now, but both of them are. And I'm just thinking, pray for, that we'll have wisdom with our neighbors. Cindy, our neighbor, we said was going to have surgery, and she did. And she had a brain tumor removed, and so it seemed like the surgery went well. Just pray that we'll have wisdom in how to relate to them. We're not quite sure how to relate, hopefully some opportunity somewhere down the road to share the gospel with them. So pray for us and pray for her. She said, thank the Lord, she seems to be making good recovery at this point. So let's ask God to help us right now. Father, we do thank you that you are wonderful. We thank you that we do have a Savior to sing about. I thank you for the hymns and the music that is both past and present, that we just focuses upon your Son and upon you. And we rejoice that we have joy in the Lord. We do pray that you will guide us in our thoughts. Again, we know that we're utterly dependent upon you if anything of eternal value is accomplished. So we pray that you will just have your way and do your work. So we entrust ourselves to you right now. In Christ's name, amen. I thank the Lord for GPS. Mine is getting a little old, but Marty and I were talking about this the other day. Used to, you know, you're driving down the road and you got the map on your seat, right? And so you're looking over and you're looking over. And of course, if you live through that, don't run into somebody. But you have a sense. You have a sense like, I should turn here, I should go there. You kind of have a sense of where you're at. But with GPS, I've noticed I've become very handicapped. I just listen to what the lady says, right? And a lot of times she's saying, what is that little phrase she says? What? Recalculating. You have the same friend I have, right? Recalculating. But anyway, what I thought, especially when I go to the city of Toronto, I am totally lost without that GPS. I don't know it very well, and I've become less knowledgeable because I don't watch my maps. I just listen to the lady telling me to recalculate. But isn't it interesting, you're driving along, she says, okay, in 500 yards, you know, you're going to turn left or whatever, right? And so you're going along and you turn left and you go down, you turn right if somebody doesn't cut you off. And anyway, you're going down. But really, your confidence is in that lady to get you where you're going. Your faith is in the GPS. Now, there have been situations where they didn't do so hot. I remember one time the lady wanted me to drive right off into the lake. But anyway, we decided not to do that. But I did know a lady, or I saw one on the paper, she decided to drive right in. So anyway, you can't always trust a GPS, right? But we can trust God and his word, and we are called to walk by faith. And this caught me. I was thinking about this in relation to what we talked about this morning. We are called to walk by faith, not by sight. I want to think about that and ponder that. I'll show it how it connects with what we've been dealing with, but I just felt like this was relevant and it was encouraging to me as I looked at these passages. I just want to say several things, and it would kind of go through an outline of different points, and we'll see how far the Lord allows us. To walk by faith, not by sight, is to walk with confidence in the Lord and His truth. Confidence, trust, reliance, faith. Now, I'm going to go to different passages. I apologize if there's too many, and if you want to make notes or you turn to some of them. Some of them will come right to mind because you've already memorized them. I'm going to go to Galatians 2:20, and I just want to read this. You know this verse, but I want to read it. It's very relevant to what we're doing with Romans. Romans 6, the truth is restated here. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and that's because we're in Christ. Our sin nature was judged when Christ died. He paid the price, not only for our sins, but He judged our old man. We've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Now notice, Christ died for me, and obviously the very first step of faith is to trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Just love that. Believe on the Lord Jesus. That's the first step. But this is taking us beyond that. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, we've said this many, many times, but another passage, if you're in Galatians 2:16, it says this, and again, Romans and Galatians have a lot of similarities, but Galatians 2:16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, boy, that's hard for people to grasp. We're so resilient. We want to do it our way. We want to get the credit. It's not of works, though. Not of works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus. We have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ. The little word, the phrase, we have believed in Christ Jesus. It's a little three-letter, in the Greek, it's a little three-letter word. We would transliterate it, E-I-S, A-S. And it almost has the idea of we trust into. It heightens a sense of dependence upon. So, we have believed in Christ Jesus. Now, so, we've trusted Him. You know, it's one thing I love about the Awana program. You know, the gospel is presented on a regular basis. The Word of God is presented. The truth of trusting the Lord Jesus is clearly presented. But again, we don't just stop there. We start there. And this next verse shows that we need to keep growing in our faith. I'm going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm reading in the NIV in this particular reading. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. Paul's thankful. He's thankful for them. He's thankful for their development. He says in verse 3, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers. Now, side note, footnote, I think we always ought to be thankful for each other. We should always be thankful, especially people, you know, have a love for the Lord going on. We're not perfect, but just be thankful. Paul says, we ought always thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And that's where I pulled that translation out, because I think the translation of it highlights growing more and more. That is one thing he was thankful for. And that's one thing we want to be happening. We want our faith to keep growing and developing. And so that means, and as we need to keep taking in truth that helps our faith grow. Now, this is where I want to come to the statement that we just referred to a moment ago. We walk by faith, not by sight. And my point is, as I look at this, I want to put it in this way. The walk by faith, not by sight walk, is a walk confident in God's unseen realities. Walking by faith, confident of God's unseen realities. Now, Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. I think this is has so much, of course, all of God's word has so much of importance and relevance to us. But in 2 Corinthians 5, and if for time's sake, I'll read portions, mainly for time's sake, but I am going to start at verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5. For we know, Paul writing, that if the earthly tent, he's talking about his body, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Talking about the body. We've got a body awaiting in heaven. For indeed in this house we groan. And I thought, the further we go along, the more we groan, right? We groan. Now, Paul had some more reasons to groan than just getting older. Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. We can't grasp it, can't we? We just can't grasp what it would be like to have a new body. I don't know what age will look like or whatever, but we'll have this new body, and it's not going to age. It's not going to deteriorate. Now, but Paul says, we groan now. And I'll talk about a few reasons why he groans, but I want to drop down to verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage. Now, one reason he groaned, we'll talk about it in just a moment, he's brutalized in his serving Christ. I mean, he of all people went through very difficult things. His body suffered as a result of serving the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then it says in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, what I'd like to do is read a quote. It's a little bit long, but it brings us one statement I think is very important. And the commentator says this, to be at home in the body means to dwell in the earthly tent. To be outwardly wasting away, to be in a state of mortality away from the immediate presence of the Lord. What sustained Paul was the realization that this was a temporary and transitory state. He focused not on the seen, but on the unseen. To live this way is to live by faith, not by sight. It is to live in light of ultimate rather than immediate realities. Okay? Now think of some of the immediate realities he was facing. Now, this is in the context of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, if you want to turn over there, this is a long list of things that Paul had to suffer. Part of the reason he was groaning, that his body was being torn down, his house was, in shambles, his physical body. It would have been interesting to see just the scars on his back. Now, just listen to some of these labors and these difficulties. In 2 Corinthians 11, and I break in at verse 23. He's talking about these guys who were false teachers, and they were bragging about themselves and saying how big they were and awesome they were. And Paul says, you know what? they don't have much to talk about, because he said, I, in far more labors, in verse 23, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number. That caught my attention. He didn't even remember how many times he'd been beaten. Isn't that amazing? Often in danger of death. Often. You know, will I die today? Five times, verse 24, I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Five times. Verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day. I have spent in the deep. I have been in frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. Then he goes on and says, in jumping just a little bit, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, and in cold and exposure. Now, how can you keep on keeping on? I mean, really. I can just think in the very beginning of this, imprisonment. you know, I'm waving the white flag, right? How can you do this? How? And then this whole, because Paul was walking by faith, not by sight or by feeling. He had to suffer. He had to be in pain so much of the time. I'm sure some of the pain that he received through his brutal treatment had to be lingering and continuing on. Some of the wounds never healed properly. Some of the, think of what it would do to your, just your spinal column, you know, the headaches you must have, on and on. But he kept walking by faith because he knew he wasn't just the immediate realities. I mean, if you're being beat up, it is a reality. But it is an immediate reality. Paul lived for the ultimate reality. That's the difference. God's ultimate reality. Walking with confidence in God's unseen realities, both in the future and in the present, is a crucial part of faith. So he's looking, right now we're looking at, reading that passage, looking at the future. But there's also realities that are true right now that we're to be confident of. Walking by faith. And this brings us to our passage that we're in Romans 6. And I'll go there. Just a quick reminder of a few things we've talked about, not to linger long, but I just want to highlight it in measure. Okay, Romans 6, verse 5. If we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man or old self was crucified with him or judged with him, in order that the body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Now, we said this, and I don't want to restate it too many times, but because of our union with Christ, we don't have to give in to sin. We can say yes to God. But that's because we're united to Christ. That's an unseen reality. We're united to him, but we can't see it. We don't feel it. We don't touch it. But it's true. And that's why he says in verse 11, what we talked about this morning, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is where faith comes in. The word reckon, your version may say, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, count yourselves to be dead to sin, consider yourselves. Lagizomai is the word. But what it means is to count, to calculate as true, because it is true. It's true. It's a word of faith. It's a word to, it's something we are to believe because it is true. Now, we have this unseen reality, but the reason I want to highlight it, and I think it has a need to highlight it, is because when sin comes at us and pulls at us, the feeling is can be so strong, our thought is, I can't resist this. But if we don't remember the unseen reality that I'm in Christ, that I'm united to him, if I don't reckon this to be true, I don't hold this by faith, I'm really vulnerable to that sin. It's so easy for me to give in to that sin because I don't know I have the provision that is mine in Christ. So I have to walk by faith. I have to remember the unseen reality. And this is something we need to come to again and again. It's the word legizomai is a present imperative. So it's a command, and it's a command that we're to keep, continue to keep. This is something that we're to fix in our mind. There's certain things in spiritual life just need to be right in the front center of our thinking. And this is one of them, that we don't have to give in to sin. So we walk by faith. We walk by faith. We can't see it, but it's true. Everett talking about my farm stories, and of course I love being on the farm. I mean, I didn't love it then. I love it now, but it was a lot of hard work. But I remember we used to, when we would harvest grain. I probably told this story, but when we harvest grain in the summer, and when you're harvesting, you're working full out, and so. And because the problem on the plains, of course, every place has its weather issues. But the problem is that season of the year, you got hot weather, and being close to the Rockies, if you get some cold coming over those mountains, you can get some really nasty storms, and then you can get a hailstorm. And it's not It's not uncommon for hail to wipe out a wheat crop. So if your grain was ready to harvest, I mean, it had to be a certain, you couldn't just harvest any time. You had to be ready to harvest. It couldn't be too damp. You would work as long as you could in the day, as long. You'd go as early, and you could only start so soon because of the dampness. You couldn't be too damp, and you could work. A lot of times we'd work way into the night, but as long as the grain wasn't too damp. But I remember in the middle of the day, because we didn't take a break to go to town, we just didn't take a break, Mom would bring us dinner. And Mom was a good cook. And I remember, you're sitting here, and you're starting to think, you know, about 11 o'clock. You're thinking, oh, Mom, maybe she's coming, right? And Mom was always, barring the unforeseen, she was always on time. And so you knew you're going to have a warm meal and something cold to drink. You were so thirsty. It was so hot. And Dar's right. It's pretty brown. Eastern Kansas is more Everest description, right? And so yeah, it was just so... And you're so thirsty because it's so hot. But when I remember, you wait, and you knew Mom was coming, though. You knew Mom was coming. And it was a great thing when you saw that car, you saw a little stream of dust because it's on a dirt road, saw a low stream of dust, and over the horizon come Mom because you knew what was in that car. It was a wonderful meal. You see, but I couldn't see her before, but I knew she was coming. I was confident she would come. God has these promises for us. They're awesome, far more than a wonderful meal. And we can be confident that they're true. Confident. And God says, walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. It's a wonderful thing. Now, let's just talk about a few things as we move on. To walk by faith, not by sight, requires that we know the Lord and His truth through His Word. Now, obviously that's, in some ways, that's a no-brainer, but I just want to show you some passages. Let's go to Colossians 2, and we're going to be here for several things. Colossians 2, verse 1, and I'm actually, just for time's sake, I want to drop down to verse 2. Colossians 2, verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. You have to understand truth, understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. We need to understand Christ as He really is. It's in our culture, it's so distorting of the person of Christ. We need to understand who He really is. How do we know who He is? By His Word and in His provision. It teaches us by Him. In whom, verse 3, in whom, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's everything. He's everything. Now, dropping down your eyes to verse 5. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Notice that. Your faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Now, this is not for initial salvation. This is for the ongoing Christian life. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How do we receive Him? By faith. How do we walk in Him? By faith. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed. We need to take in God's truth to build our faith. That He builds our faith on the basis of His Word. And again, the obvious question is, well, how do we do this effectively? And Colossians goes on, because Colossians, they were the saints there were under attack, spiritual deception. And he says, how do we build our faith? How do we stay strong in the Lord? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And the more I ponder it, the more I love that passage. But it is so important that we do this. That we have time with the Lord. I saw a picture recently, and you would, we've all seen pictures of people who are malnourished. You remember some of the pictures that came out of the Holocaust, and after the war was over, and some of the prisoners who survived, Remember how they were just emaciated? Just bone and skin. They had no food, no nutrition. I wonder if God took a spiritual picture of us. How would we look? Would we be vibrant and spirits and healthy? Or we would be emaciated and gaunt? God wants us to take in his truth, to build up our faith. And it's so important for us. And I see this, and I've said this many, many times, but I've seen it more and more. People, you know, and we all have struggles, and we all have times when we're low. I understand that. And we need to encourage each other with that. But if a person, a lot of times, they'll just kind of, and this was said this morning, but they just float away, they just kind of silently float away from the Lord. Just kind of, it's like if you were on one of the shores in any ocean setting, but especially I think of some of the ocean settings in Nova Scotia. If you go out there and you're not paying attention, you can just get pulled out to sea and not even know what's happening until it's too late. We need to be careful we don't allow ourselves to get away from God and get away from his word and get ourselves into big spiritual trouble. Okay, let's talk about another facet. To walk by faith, not by sight, will put us under spiritual attack. It's not easy walking by faith. Of course, Satan wants to take all of us out. And if we really want to walk by faith, it's not always going to be simple or easy. Now, in the same passage, Colossians 2 again, verse 4, he says this. Now, this is the context of what we've already been reading, but I want to come back to this. Verse 4, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Don't be duped. There's a lot of things we can read or get involved in that sound very persuasive. And so how do we cut through falsehood from truth? You have to know what God says. But there's going to be all kinds of persuasion. And I think as we move toward the end of time, toward the Lord's coming, toward the ultimate deception, you know, thank the Lord, we'll be with the Lord before the tribulation. But during that time, deception is going to be at the ultimate. But we're moving toward that. You know, you just go online and you think, oh, you type in something and you want to find out. Well, there's authority on everything from everyone, you know, all over the world. And then you got to ask yourself the question, because you got this person who says do this and you got this person who says do this, and they're in total conflict with each other. What is true? And that's what we're faced with spiritually. What is true? We go to the Word. We stay in the Word. We grow in the Word because we're under attack in the world. And I think of this passage, and I'll read this to you, and we'll stay in Colossians, but I'll read a passage to you that you probably remember, Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brethren, take care, wake up, watch out, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Don't drift. Don't drift. May God help all of us. This is something we all have to be cautious of and careful about. Don't drift. Be careful. Take care, brother, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Okay. Now let's go. We've already said this in one sense, but I just want to highlight it again. To walk by faith, not by sight, requires continually strengthening ourselves in the Lord and his truth. Continually strengthening. Now again, I know I've said this, but I want to re-emphasize it. Colossians 2:7. Again, we're in that Colossians passage. Having been firmly rooted, and now, this is implied, and now being built up in him and established in your faith. So it's something we got to, you know, until the day we're with the Lord, we need to be strengthening ourselves in the Lord, right? Just keep building, keep building. You know, I would encourage you just in application, just pray, you know, in this season. You know, I know Christmas is coming, and I'm thinking, I actually tonight when I go home, I got to wrap a package to mail it tomorrow. I've got all this stuff, right? Anyway, I know we're busy, but you know, I would really encourage all of us to pray. How would God want us to enter into our new year? What would he want? What is there a book he wants me to study? Like, does he want me, let's say, for example, does he want me to spend time in Proverbs? Does he want me to spend time in Philippians? Does he just want me to go back to the first of the Bible, start reading through the Bible? What does God want me to do? How does he want me to build my faith? Ask him. You know, we're all unique at different stages and situations, but ask him, God, what is it you want me to do in this new season, this new year, to just build myself in the Lord, just to walk, to strengthen my walk by faith? And I just encourage you, and I want to do that for myself, just to be in tune. So when obviously I'm not going to wait till January. Hopefully you're not waiting till January to, you know, be in the Word. But pray. Just may this be a great season ahead of us, as well as make the most of our December. Now, another point, to walk by faith, not by sight, is essential to please the Lord. This is a big deal to God. I'm going to read a verse, Hebrews 11:6, and the whole, all of Hebrews 11 is about faith, is the faith chapter, as you're aware. But Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith, it is impossible, get that word, it is impossible to please him. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now just let that word, little word impossible sink in. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. I think, I love that hymn, trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, there's also no other way to please Jesus, to trust and obey. But we need to walk by faith. It pleases the Lord. It honors the Lord. We'll note that a little more in just a moment. Another point. To walk by faith, not by sight, results in growth for ourselves. I want to go to Ephesians 3, not this Sunday at Breaking Bread, but I think it was last Sunday at the Breaking of Bread, this passage was highlighted several times. And I just want to read portions of it. I love this prayer, Ephesians 3:14. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a wonderful pattern of prayer. Not that we're verbatim words, but it has so much truth in it that we should pray for one another. And in 3:14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven, or the whole family in heaven and on earth, derives his name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And then we start into where I want to highlight, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So we need to be strengthened. Talking about the believer, right? We need to be strengthened with power by the Spirit, so that, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now this is talking to the believer. That Christ will dwell, and the idea of here is not his initial coming into our lives, but his being in us, and we're being transformed by him. He is filling us, we're being formed. Christ is formed in us, as it says in Galatians. And so we're taking on, we might, another way to say it, the fruits of the Spirit. We're taking on the qualities of the Spirit. The Spirit works, he exalts Christ, he brings Christ-like characteristics more and more into our life. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. The emphasis of this passage is love. Now notice what it goes on to say. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, notice, you got to grasp it, with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth, and I think that's referring to the love of God, understanding it more and more, grasping it. I think it's one of the wonderful things. We get together, breaking bread. There's hardly a time you don't talk about something about the love of God. But the love of God is so immense. How deep the love of God is. I love that song. And it's so immense. But as we get to know what it means, what is the love of God looking like in my life? Well, one thing, love of God is not selfish. So as I grow in that, I'm going to be less and less selfish. My old nature is selfish. So as I grow, I'm less selfish. And I'm more sacrificial. I'm willing to sacrifice for people. And no, the love of God. But as it transforms me, as Christ is formed in me, I know him and he's expressed through me to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That you may be, and this is what I want to highlight, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Whoa, that is over the top. What is that saying? It's not that we become God, but that we are filled with God's characteristics. And where did this start? He's praying for them, really, that their faith will increase, the hold on, that Christ will dwell in them through faith. And what will happen? They will grow. Christ, the fullness of God, will fill more and more. We'll be a people known by, there's something different about them. There's qualities. There's Christ-like qualities that are evident. And that's what is one thing we should pray for, but it's one thing we should desire, that this happens more and more in our life. That's truly growing in the Lord. It's not just straightening up. It's having Christ formed in us, that we might, that to know the love of Christ, that that love is experientially known in our life, that we will be filled up to all the fullness of God. You know what? A person who is unloving is not a mature Christian. Just can't be. Because when we are in fellowship with a loving God and he impacts our life, we become more and more a loving people. And that's part of what this is about, is our, as we walk by faith, faith in Christ, not by sight, part of what happens is we grow. Now, to highlight this, as we walk by faith, not by sight, we bring glory to the Lord. Now, I just want to highlight the same passage in Ephesians. Everything we've talked about, notice that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And then he says this, now to him who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Notice, if Christ dwells in our heart through faith, as it was stated up in 17, notice what ultimately happens in verse 21. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. You know what happens? As we grow in our faith, we will bring more and more glory to the Lord. And that not only is in time, but to all generations forever and ever. I think one of the things, we step into eternity, and if we've allowed God to work in us and through us by his Spirit, in the provision of Christ, all that we have, and it impacts our life and it changes our life, and we relate to one another in Christ-like ways, throughout eternity, God will get the glory for what he did in our lives. It's not us. It's not us being big shots. It's we allowed him to do his work in us. We just looked to him. We trusted in him. We walked by faith in him. And he gets all the credit. He gets the glory. We want to be a kind of people that allow him to be glorified through our lives, not only in time, but for all eternity. A similar concept, although it's not exactly in relation of love, but in Romans 4:20, as we grow, our faith brings glory to the Lord. For it says in Romans 4:20, talking about Abraham, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. We want to glorify God. That when we glorify God, we exalt his excellence. Like when he works in us and works through us, it's really expression of what God is. And when that's expressed in and through us, it's his excellence. It's his qualities as we are growing. We will glorify the Lord as we walk by faith. As we walk through the world in faith, often we'll not see the invisible realities. We can't see that we're in Christ. Can't see it. Can't touch it. But it's true. But as we walk through confidence in him and confidence in his truth, will not be disappointed in our lives. I just want to, just a few things. I just want to practice our faith. Practice walking by faith. I'm just going to read a few verses. Just ask this question. What does God want me to believe in this passage? What does God want me to believe? Passage that I'm sure you've heard, John 14, verse 1. What does God want us to believe? Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming for us, and he's got a place for us. He's coming. We need that on hard days, right? I said somebody asked this morning, I think I might have mentioned it even in the message, but the other grandmother of our Alaskan kids, her house was just decimated, not flattened, but just shook by this 7-point earthquake. Just everything. We know that house, I was thinking that house may have to be totally torn down. I'm not sure. But she has a mansion with the Lord. She knows the Lord. And she might need to hold on to this passage this week, this month, this year. She's got a place. What does God want us to believe in this? 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Boy, we can lose heart pretty easy, right? Therefore, do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, it's a passage we read close to, decaying, and yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Think of all the dear people who are suffering serious illnesses. Outer man is decaying. Yet, Paul said, our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. Can't grasp it. While we look not at the things which are seen, we don't look at those things. We don't focus on those things. We don't get stuck on those things. They're part of life, but we don't have to be stuck on them. But at the things, we look at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isn't that awesome? You see those unseen realities? We hold on to those. That's faith, not by sight. I think of Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, this is mind-boggling, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now just think about that. We don't even understand all those blessings. You know, some of them we probably have a better understanding, a little more understanding. But every spiritual blessing we will ever need for all eternity, we already have. We don't fully grasp it yet. We haven't fully experienced it yet, but we have it. We're the richest people on the planet. We are. Every spiritual blessing. And then I conclude with this. In Colossians 2, and we read a portion of this where it said, don't let anyone take you captive through philosophy. This is in 2:8. And then it says in verse 9, for in him, in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In verse 10, and in him you have been made complete. Now, that's not talking about we're totally mature, we've arrived. But we have every spiritual reality we need in Christ to grow. We're complete. We're born, when you're born spiritually as a little baby, you know, you thank the Lord when the little baby is born healthy and got all the parts and all the everything's working, right? That's a wonderful thing. We know that's not always the case. But when you're born spiritually, you're complete in Christ. You have all you need. Got a lot of growing to do. Got a lot of maturing to do. But you got everything in Christ you need. But what God wants us to do is walk by faith. Because we can't see it yet. Don't understand it all. I mean, that's part of being a baby believer. You got a lot to learn. But God calls us to walk by faith, not by sight. because we have everything we need. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are awesome and wonderful. You are everything. And in Christ, we have everything we can possibly need for time and eternity. Help us grasp it more and more, learn of it more and more, that we can live by faith in it, even when we can't see it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.